Father, I pray it would be our desire to know you more each and every day. Father, I pray that we would just chase after you. God, that we would know you in new and real ways in our lives, that we would seek your face in everything that we do. That it wouldn't just be something we say, but it would be something that we would strive for, that something that we would seek would just be that deeper knowledge, deeper relationship of you, who you are and what you do for us. God, that it wouldn't just be blindly words, that it wouldn't just be nothing, but it would be something that we truly believe. Father, I pray that we would know and believe and have faith in your goodness in our lives. God, that we would put our trust fully in you, and that we wouldn't try to go at it on our own, but we would go with you, where you lead. Father, I pray we would follow, that we would walk right beside you. God, lead us. Lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. I'm going to invite Nora up for a second, and she's going to just talk. She actually just came back from youth camp, so we had a quick chat, and she had some things she was going to want to share. She had a really good time there, and Nora actually got baptized at youth camp, so that was exciting. And Nora's pretty shy, so she's gonna talk to you, and I'm just going to let her talk and share what she felt God told her at camp and what happened there. So go ahead, Nora.
So after I was baptized on Thursday night, I was told to go around asking people if they needed a hug. And about over 80 people needed a hug. So, yeah. And earlier that week, I was like, I got super sad for out of nowhere. And one of my friends I met there, God spoke through her, and both I and her needed to hear what he was saying. And we did a prayer tunnel, and I was told to just start moving my mouth to, because God was telling them that I was supposed to start speaking in tongues. So after we went through there, I started praying for people in tongues, and I healed a couple of people.
And what happened with you, Nora, while you were there? What happened with you with healing?
I was very sick, and God healed me, so I had problems breathing, and I could breathe more clearly, and it didn't hurt breathing. And my heartbeat was regular now, and I don't have pain anywhere in my body.
And you had lots of pain before? Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. So, amen, eh? Thanks, Nora. She had a really amazing time there, and she came back a lot more refreshed, hey, Nora? And just more peace of life and where things were. And, you know, she talked about that, the pain in her heart and her lungs. And we actually were quite concerned. We got some tests, so we knew what was wrong and so how we could pray. And we still didn't have the answers. We were praying and believing. And she went there and believed by faith that she would be healed. And she was healed. It was amazing. It's a miracle. So we're quite thankful. She had an amazing time. And maybe if Seth's prepared, wants to speak some time about what God told him, he's shaking his head no because he's a little nervous, what God kind of did for him at camp, he'll be ready at some time. Or, you know, we were excited because Nora sent me a text and said, I'm being baptized and it's my choice. So what do you say to that? No, you're not being baptized, right? Like, the only sadness was is we would have liked to have been there, but it was so awesome. We got to see the video of it. And it was, she had a great time, so it was really encouraged. And she brought a friend, and it was really good for her friend, I think, too. So her friend had a good time and got to know Jesus in a new way. So we're going to finish up our series on clean and clear, and we're going to talk about something called bitter or better. Maybe when you're younger, or maybe you've heard of the game bigger or better. This is not like that. This is bitter or better. So has anybody ever played the game bigger or better? You start with a paperclip, and I remember going to Bible school, and this was to get to know people, and they started us with a paperclip, and we wound up pushing like a 52-inch rear projection TV into the Bible college because that's what we wound up getting. It didn't work with all the colors, but we still had the TV, and I don't think we could get much bigger than that. It was huge, and it just wheeled down the highway, down the street. It was great. It was awesome. You could watch two out of three colors. So today we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 12 a little bit, but before we go there, I want to start off talking about bitterness and acknowledge that it's easy to see why big and major hurts will trip people up into bitterness. I'm not going to do a show of hands and say, who's a bitter person today? That's not what I'm going to do. That's not what we're about. But it's just an opportunity for us to gain maybe a bit of understanding, maybe in our own lives, but also so we can minister to others, because bitterness is a big, big stumbling block for people. And if somebody tells you this is what they're going through, it might help you walk them through stuff. And like I said, maybe this is something that does affect you. So I think it's easy to see why big things would cause that, right? You know, I think those big things make sense why it could cause bitterness, but sometimes it's the small, insignificant things that can lead us into bitterness too. Like we let those little comments that somebody made at one time, just off-the-cuff comments, and sometimes people let that take root in their lives. And those sometimes are harder to see. But usually it's those big things. So how many of you would say that maybe the next time your family gets together, if you reflect on past times that your family got together, you could see there might be some possibility for some tension, or maybe some hurt feelings, or maybe some bitterness that causes some problems? Would anybody? Yeah, anybody? You don't have to necessarily put up your hand, I guess. I'll put my hand up. It happens, right? Maybe it's just my family that's really crazy, and more so Stacy's family that's really crazy. But we won't talk about them. but I think a lot of families, this is something that happens. There's some stressors. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe the next time you get together with your family at Thanksgiving, which is coming up, or maybe it's Christmas, which can oftentimes be an interesting thing, because I find when we get together on those holidays that are supposed to be together to gather together and love each other and encourage each other, and that's why we get together. You know, we could sit up by ourselves and celebrate the birth of Christ, couldn't we? Couldn't we? But we choose to get together and celebrate together. And sometimes it just magnifies the pain and the struggling of these relationships and the stress of the relationships. So from our perspective, we're going to let God and His Word speak to our hearts, and we're going to ask God to clean and clear our hearts from some bitterness and use that. So we're going to start in Hebrews 12 to 15. So the Bible tells us to make what kind of effort? What type of effort? Every effort, right? So the Bible says make every effort. Scripture says to live at peace with who? With everyone. The Bible says, and to be holy, without holiness no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And then what do we do? What do we do then? Can you say it with me? And that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. So see to it that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. You can live in bitterness, or you can choose to let God deal with that bitterness, deal with that root, and you can live a better life, a fulfilled life, a holy life. So today we want to establish an understanding of bitterness. So let's start with the first, with two biblical thoughts. That's where we're going to start today. Oh boy, you're on it. So the first thing is this. We need to embrace that bitterness has a dangerous root. Scripture teaches us clearly that bitterness has a dangerous root. In verse 15 of Hebrews 12, it says, "See that no bitter root grows up." Now, when will the bitter root start to grow? Typically, the bitter root grows within the soil of hurts that's not dealt with, typically in a biblical way. But sometimes it grows in your pride, too. That's where bitterness can grow. Or your poor attitude. Bitterness can grow there, too. And typically, though, it goes back to hurt that wasn't dealt with biblically. So let me explain that a little first. Maybe sometimes you're like, you get a little prideful and you get mad at people with money, and then you see somebody in the church and you're like, oh, how is God blessing them with that? Or how can they have that and I have this? And you get bitter towards that person, or you get bitter towards their who they are even. Or you get bitter of what and towards what they have as a family. And you let that bitterness just grow in your life and it becomes something that we're not supposed to have. So we're supposed to see to it that no bitter root grows up. So now where do roots grow? Where do roots grow? Where? In the ground. Oh, so roots grow underground, right? And the root of bitterness starts out as a bit of an underground job in most people. What do I mean by that? We kind of let it sit there and we let it fester and grow. Other people may look at you and think that nothing's wrong. They don't see it. You may look normal. Well, I don't look normal, but you may look normal. And they may think that your relationship is okay. But underground, things can be churning very dangerously. And this bitter root is growing and feeding and spreading in your life. So what do we know about roots? What else do we know? I'm not a farmer, but I know three things. I know that roots absorb. They absorb nutrients. They absorb food that's down there. They store and they grow, don't they? That's what roots do. They grow. They absorb painful information. They store the words that someone might have said against us or about us. And if left unchecked or dealt with properly, biblically, the roots of this bitterness will what? They'll grow. They'll start showing themselves at the surface, and they'll start showing themselves in our lives. Now, I don't know. I was looking in our garden, and where we have a lot of weeds taking over, or had a lot of weeds, we make the kids pluck the weeds out. But when you pluck the weeds out, what do you need to get out? You need to get the root, right? I like to cheat sometimes and spray it with Roundup to make sure that root doesn't. But anyways, that goes through, that's right. But, oh, I totally lost my thought after that. No, that was me. So they absorb and they store and they grow. Now we need to deal with that root. We need to deal with that plant, that thing that's trying to spread and grow in us. Now 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love keeps no records of wrongs, right? Is that what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us? Love keeps no records of wrongs. So what does a root of bitterness do? It absorbs. It holds us, it stores those wrongs, those things that are said about us, those things that are said against us. See, the root of bitterness, it keeps detailed records of wrongs. It remembers all the things that you ever did to do against me, to hurt me. You did this, 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 and on December 12th, 1974, you did this to me, and this to me, and this to me. Oh, and on this day, you did this, and this, and this, and it stores those records, doesn't it? So how do you know if you've got the root of bitterness growing in your heart? So one of the ways is if someone hurts you, and you can remember every word they said, or every detail of the incident, like I was just outlining there, you know, July 14th, 1936, you looked at me funny. And on top of that, at the Harvest Festival in 1929, I waved to you and you didn't wave back. Sounds silly, and I'm being a little silly, but this is how people feel and act when they have these roots of bitterness in their life. And they pick silly little things and they just let them build and build and build. And it grows. And you start detailing and remembering every word and everything said. And I think that's a good indication of maybe this root of bitterness growing in your life. And we start to realize that we've got this root of bitterness when we've absorbed and stored bad information, and it's growing within us and it's starting to show above surface. And oftentimes when it's above surface, it's affecting others. Like Lyle, did you know in 1929 at the Harvest Festival, I waved at Myrna and she didn't wave back? What an awful person. She hurt me so badly. I know, I'm holding on to that root. It's a long time ago. I don't even, was my grandpa wasn't even born yet. Actually, he was, I think, 1929. Never mind. I'm digressing and I'm going somewhere I shouldn't be. The second thought about bitterness is this, though. Firstly, bitterness has a dangerous root. Secondly, we need to understand that bitterness has poisonous fruit. So what starts out as this underground job, if left unchecked and allowed to grow, will eventually grow fruit that everyone will see and hurts many. Not just you, not just the person that you've got a bitterness to, but it can hurt many people. Verse 15 in Hebrews 12, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now the Greek word translated here is the word miano, which means to stain, to pollute, to contaminate. And many of you, if you were honest, you'd say that you've got some relationship maybe that are stained. Maybe some relationships that are polluted or contaminated with this poisonous fruit of bitterness. I know I won't talk about my family and my wife's family, but I'll talk about my, I don't know if it'll be my family, but I know when my grandfather passed away, there was some bitterness between family members after he passed away, and people were bitter towards each other. They were angry towards each other, and it spewed up, and this was a family that gathered together at every opportunity, birthdays, holidays, every chance, would get together and have a major meal together, and there'd be food for days, and it'd be 7 days later, and you're still eating the canned peas that my grandma would prepare, but it didn't matter because we were together. And after this root grew up and produced bad fruit, all of a sudden the family never gathered because it was too much negative fruit. It had contaminated the group. I feel like Dr. Seuss all of a sudden with my rhymes. But it had grown this root in our lives. And when that root produced the fruit and the family was busted up and didn't want to gather any longer, what happened? We didn't get together. We saw each other at maybe a funeral, and then you'd be lovey-dovey because it's a funeral, we got to show love. But we didn't deal with the problem, ever. And to this day, I still don't believe that the problem has ever been dealt with. And many people have died, and people that are still alive are now dealing with guilt and resentment and more negative fruit. That wasn't in my notes, but the New Living Translation tells us this verse in this way from verse 15. The New Living Translation says, whenever the bitter root springs up, many corrupted are corrupted by its poison. Bitterness starts with a dangerous root that grows into poisonous fruit. Now, how do you know if your heart is growing bitter? How do you know? Well, that's a side effect, though, right? So I've got four indications, four dangerous fruits. And the first is this. If your heart is growing bitter, we easily can see the bad in others. If someone hurts us, man, we can pick them apart and see the bad in them so easily, can't we? Man, who do they think they are? My voice just changed there. I felt like I was 14 again. Who do they think they are? So righteous walking around here like they're so much better Christian than me, right? How many of us have seen that? Oh, saying things like, why do they do that? Who do they think they are? Man, we can pick out faults on them so quickly because the root of bitterness is growing up and we can easily see the bad of those who hurt us. The second fruit of bitterness is this. We feel justified in criticizing and gossiping about these people. I'm not talking about just talking about them because talking about them is the same as gossiping. But we use nice words like, I'm just talking about it. Letting you know what's happening. No, we're gossiping about it. That's what we're doing. And we talked about gossip in the past. Now, normally, if we're gossiping, we might realize that this is wrong. But because they wronged us, because they wronged me, it's right to tell everybody else what a low-down, no-good person that this is. And you shouldn't trust them. And it's the right thing to do because they wronged me, and I don't want them to wrong you, so I need to expose them for the scum that they are. I need to expose the truth. Why? Because I feel justified, because they hurt me. And they're going to get theirs, right? I'm obviously being very, I don't know if anemic's not the right word. I'm trying to be animated. Anemic, I think, is something with the blood. But I'm trying to be animated because I really want you to understand that when you see this, and when you see it in your own life, but in the lives of others, that you understand what's going on. The root of bitterness, it just takes over. And you start doing that. You start feeling justified as you criticize them. The third fruit, it's a bit on the dark side. Not like Anakin Skywalker dark side, but it's the dark side. And those of you that know what I mean, you're awesome. But we secretly celebrate their misfortunes. We secretly celebrate the person that wronged us. When we see they're going through something, we celebrate. Like, Nathan, high five. Yeah. Yeah. Bill got a flat tire. Man, Bill got a flat tire. High five. You know, Bill, I don't want you to have a flat tire. But when we celebrate something's going wrong with them, when we celebrate their misfortunes, that might tell us that we have some fruit of bitterness in our lives. When something goes wrong in their life, we secretly go, yeah, self-high five. I saw that one coming. They got what's coming to them. They got what they deserved. They lost their job because they don't have integrity. They lost this because of this. They got a flat tire because they speed too much. Yeah. Woo, they're struggling financially. Take all your good words and fly a kite. They made a bad investment. Woo! God's dishing out on them what they had coming. How many of you maybe have even said this or heard this from anyone? You know what? That's when you know that you might have some fruit of bitterness in your life. We're secretly celebrating their misfortunes. And some of us not so secretly, right, Nathan? High five. You know what I mean? And number four, this is probably what we see in most families, especially around the holidays. We bring many people down. Not only do we hurt ourselves, but we hurt the people around us. And the way we see this played out in families is we create what I call a dangerous and strategic alliance. And this is what I saw created in my own, I don't know what how you call it, my extended family, beyond my mom, her family, her siblings. But it happens in my family too, with my sister and brother. Strategic alliances on different things. It happens. It happens in families. But the thing is, and why do I speak so passionately? Why do I think this is such an important thing for us as a church? Is because beyond just our own family, it happens here as a church family. Right? Nathan, let's go out. I need to have a talk with you. Let's go in this room and let's talk about Lyle. Because, you know, I think Lyle's using some Just for Men and it's bugging me and I need to talk about it. Maybe I said that because Stacy brought up some bitterness to me when she said, maybe you should think about Just for Men, Dave. I don't know, Lyle. You're just getting the brunt of it today. But it happens not just in our fraternal families. It happens in our church family. This person hurt me, so I want you to know the whole truth. I want you to side with me. I want you to align with me so we can take them down. How many times have you seen that in a church? And it's not supposed to happen here. Let's gather five or six people and let's go to the church down the road because so-and-so said this and they hurt me and I'm not going to deal with it biblically, so let's go. Let's pack up our bag and pack up our checkbook and head down the road. Because that's what people think, is if I take my checkbook, I'm going to really hurt them. Why don't we deal with things biblically? Is it that hard? Because we got to swallow some pride when we deal with things biblically, don't we? Don't we? See, we see this in church splits. We see this in families. We see this in divorces. We see this here. We see this there. We see it in school. I remember being in school and picking sides and building an alliance so you could have a big rumble at lunchtime. Anybody ever get part of those? And you try to build an alliance. And, you know, it sounds silly, but that's kind of what we're doing. We're seeing who can build the bigger alliance and win the battle. What's the game with the hill? King of the castle, right? Let's build an alliance and get some people and protect our castle. This is mine. No. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I'm not going to ask you to publicly put up your hand for this. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say, I've got a problem with Nathan and his hair. I got a problem with Bill and his beard. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and do any of that. I'm going to ask you just to self-reflect. I'm going to ask you to seek the Holy Spirit this week and just talk, spend time and talk with him. And if you've got some roots to deal with, that you pluck them out. We're going to take some time this morning even to pray about this. So, oh boy, I just messed up my note. I might have hit delete. Hang on. So, most of the time, those who have a bitter root growing in their life don't want to acknowledge it in their own life. This is true for most of us, I think. So, how do you know that's you? Well, perhaps you're sitting here rationalizing what I just said and what I've just talked about and thought, you know what? Dave, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what I've been going through. You don't know what I had to deal with that person. You don't know how they wronged me. You see, my deal is way different than anything you've described, Dave. I don't need to deal with that. Mine is different because of this, 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 and this. And you're blinded to what's actually happening in your own life and how you've allowed this bitter root to grow into this poisonous fruit that you're just poisoning those around you and you're poisoning your own life. You may need to be like an ogre and peel some layers away. Because ogres are like onions. if you've ever watched Shrek. But you need to peel some layers away, because I don't know if you've ever grown an onion, but sometimes when you try to peel it, that outside stuff's the yucky stuff, right? But sometimes I've also bought onions that the outside's really nice and firm and good looking, and then I start peeling and I get to the rot on the inside. Doesn't that happen? And sometimes we need to peel those things off of our life, the shiny stuff that we look good in church, we look good when we get together as our family, and peel the nice stuff off and deal with the rot, the bad fruit, the poison that's in the center of us, what's driving us, what's pulling us out of relationships and damaging our relationships. Maybe we need to peel off some layers of pride in order to see the danger in our life. Maybe it's somebody you work with that just gets under your skin. Maybe it's somebody you go for coffee with that sometimes just bugs you. Maybe it's a person that's always trying to make you look bad or trying to take credit for the deal. Whatever the deal is. I'm not saying a business deal. I'm saying anything. Maybe it's that brown-nosing person you deal with all the time that tries to get in front of you and undercut you on stuff to make you look bad in front of the community. Maybe it's your friend or a close friend. Maybe they were your friend one day, but when you needed them, they weren't there for you. Maybe it was a friend that told a lie about you, or that went from here to here in your relationship. Some people are bitter maybe towards their parents, their mom and dad, for something when they were growing up in teenagers that they didn't get or didn't need. And maybe mom and dad have passed on, and maybe you still haven't dealt with that bitterness, just like I talked about with my family. Or your friend's gone, and you know what? Seems okay on the surface, but it hurts deeply. Maybe it's your kids have hurt you, and maybe you're not talking to them, and you're still carrying some bitterness towards them as they've left and hurt you. And you're like, well, I need to talk to them to deal with this. No, you don't necessarily, but you need to deal with it on your own and deal and get remove that root from your life and not hold on to that. There's a saying, and I'll probably get the saying wrong, but holding that bitterness, holding that grudge against someone is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. That's all you're doing. You're not affecting them. Probably most likely, they don't even know you got a problem. But you know. And it destroys the positive fruit that God wants to bless you with. It destroys the things in your life. It destroys your relationships because you're holding on to that. And that poison is just spewing out of you. You need to deal with your roots of bitterness before you can move forward positively. How many people are holding on to bitterness and saying, God, why don't you bless me? Yeah, 99.9% of people. Lots of people have this problem. There's lots of people that have dealt with their bitterness properly. And that's what I'm giving us and trying to teach us as an opportunity to do. Because time and time and time and time again, I've heard from people say, oh, I don't know why I can't get ahead. I don't know why I'm always this. I don't know why I'm always that. Well, what's going on? Well, but can you believe Stacy? Man, she thinks she's got it all together. 5 beautiful kids and blah, blah, blah. They don't fight ever, ever. I heard those kids are angels at home. You know what I mean? Like, and you're letting that take root in your life, and you're just so angry at her, but you're trying to show nice on church on Sunday. Oh, Stacy's so good. Oh, your kids look so happy when they're not fighting. Some of you, you've let that root of bitterness take hold of your life, and you've made some bad decisions, and you're holding on to that bitterness still. Peel away the layers. And ask yourself this, with whom or what am I bitter about? With whom or what am I bitter about? I'm not telling you to call that person up and say, will you forgive me? That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to deal with it. Get rid of that bitter root from your life and deal with it. Start living a life of freedom and victory. Because when you're living under that bit with that bitterness or root inside of you and you're holding on to it, it's killing you. But you're expecting them to feel the pain. And it's not gonna work. They won't feel the pain. So I'm gonna invite the music team up. They're not gonna play yet. I'm just gonna invite them up. But I want us to start this process of dealing with some bitterness in our life. So people within our church, we can't move forward as a church until we've dealt with our bitterness. We can think we can move forward. We can think, why aren't we being blessed? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we this? Why aren't we that? Until we deal with our bitterness on each individual level, until we deal with any bitterness within the church itself, we can't move forward. And so what I want to do is I want to look at Ephesians 4 to help us out. And Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Can you help me out? The Bible says to what? Get rid of all. What? All what? All bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Rage and anger. Brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. This is what we need to do towards each other. This is what we need to do to ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to stop living a slanderous life. We need to stop fighting. We need to stop being angry with each other. We need to stop, rage is anger, but we need to stop being bitter towards each other. We need to stop being bitter towards people that maybe once attended here. We need to stop being bitter towards our community. We need to stop being bitter towards anything we're bitter about, really. Because that's what it tells me. And we need to forgive. We need to walk in freedom. We need to forgive just as Jesus forgave us, just as Christ forgave us. We need to forgive. We need to kill the root of bitterness better than any Roundup could do. We need to deal with that root. With kindness and compassion. Forgiving each other. Just as Christ forgave us. So, as you take the time to say, with whom or what am I bitter with? We need to ask God, in my heart, kill the bitterness with compassion. God, stop. Let me stop holding this against so-and-so because it's stopping me from advancing what you've given me, all these blessings you've given me. Stop letting me focus on this garbage, this crap in my life, on the stuff that you did, or you did, or you did, or you did, and let me start focusing on the goodness. Let me forgive them and let it go. And let me start focusing on the goodness and the blessings that are there for me. Because too many of us focus on the garbage. We need to start focusing on the blessings. We need to be tender-hearted towards one another. Not just in here, but out there. At home, in our families, at Christmas, at Thanksgiving. We need to be tender-hearted just toward one another. The truth is, the opposite of tender-hearted is hard-hearted, right? And as bitterness grows, as this root of bitterness grows in our life, fruit starts to come as we are cold and hard-hearted. If you're bitter towards somebody else right now, I can guarantee you that your heart is growing cold towards them or has been cold towards them. And we need to ask God, give me compassion. Help me feel for them. We need to understand. We need to kill this bitterness with compassion and love. And we need to kill it with forgiveness. Scripture tells us that forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Isn't that what we read there? See, forgiveness is not an elective. If you're in school, it's not something you get to I'm going to sign up for Forgiveness 101 today, and I'm going to let, you know, that's not how this works. When you become a believer, you're forgiven, and we need to forgive just as Christ forgave us, don't we? It's not an elective. It's requirement. But it's our choice, and we need to choose to do it. We're to forgive others as God has forgiven us. But you don't know what so-and-so said. You're right. But my opinion and your opinion doesn't matter, does it? All that matters is God's word. And God's word tells me how I'm to forgive. And I'm to forgive the same way as I've been forgiven. See, I've shared with you guys quite a bit that some of the struggles that our family has gone through with past churches and past friendships and past relationships. And one of the hardest things about it all has not been letting bitterness creep into your heart and not letting bitterness creep into your life. When you get letters from lawyers, when you get letters from people, when you get texts and you find out that people would like to kill you. Literally in a text, you get that. And not letting bitterness take a hold of your life. And you can't, because it will slowly kill you from the inside. And it starts developing this poisonous fruit that just takes over. See, we need to forgive. We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to show grace and mercy. And no matter how deeply hurt we might have been at one point in our life, no matter what somebody might have said or how offended we were, we need to measure the weight of their sin against me against the weight of my sin against God, and how he forgave me is far greater than what they might have done to me. And every single time, the weight of my sin, it infinitely outweighs the sin that someone might have done to me or the hurt that they might have done to me. And God forgave me when I asked him to, just like he forgave you when you asked him to. And likewise, we just need to forgive our brothers and sisters rather than holding that burden on them or in our life. I'm to forgive others as God has freely forgiven me and you. So I pray that as you ask yourself, with whom or what am I offended with? With whom or what do I have bitterness against? That you would just ask God to deal with that, to pluck that root from your life and remove it so that the fruit doesn't poison you, so that the fruit doesn't shade your vision, take away your focus onto his blessings. Because it's easy to complain about the blessings that you're not getting when all you have is bitterness towards people. We need to pray for these roots to be plucked. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you guys to stand if you can. And we're going to pray. And while we're praying, if you feel you have some bitter roots you need to deal with, just tell God. I'm not going to make you come up here and tell me. I'm not going to make you come up here and say, I'm going to tell you now about my problem with Nathan. Or I'm going to tell you my problem with John. I'm going to tell you my problem. No, I'm not asking you to do that. Just talk to God. Let him deal with it. If you feel led that you need to talk to that person after, talk to them after. If you feel like as you continue to pray through this that you need to talk to them, then do it. But let's pray. God, right now, Father, I pray that you would just reveal to us, each and every one of us, what bitter roots that we have in our life. And God, I pray that you would reveal to us whom we might be bitter towards or what we might be bitter towards, Father. Father, as you reveal this to us, Father, I pray that you would take each of these roots of bitterness that you may be revealing, whether it be today or throughout the week or as we continue to walk through life and journey through life with you. Father, I pray that as we are revealed, that we would allow you to pluck this root, this weed, Father, and I pray that you would just throw it into the pit of hell where it belongs. Father, it may be stopping us from fully seeing and receiving the blessings you have for us. Father, you don't want to withhold blessings. You want to pour out the kingdom of heaven into our lives. And Father, I pray that our attitudes and our actions would be, might be not be stopping us from that. That might, they might not be stopping us from your goodness and what you have for us. So Father, I pray that you would take these and have them rid of so that we can focus fully on your goodness and fully on your blessings. God, I pray that you would just open up heaven's blessings on each and every person here today. Father, that we wouldn't be walking around closed-handed with our hands upside down, Father, but we would be sitting here with open hands, waiting for your blessings, knowing that they're coming. Father, that there would be financial blessings that would come from us dealing with our bitterness and these roots. Father, there would be healing blessings coming, that there would be relationship blessings coming. Father, I pray that nothing on earth and in our lives would stop our focus from you. Because, God, we know that these roots block us from fully believing and fully trusting in you. That they damage our relationship with you as well as others. So, God, I pray that you would just restore the relationships with others and restore the relationships with you that might be blocked, Father. God, that every piece of our life, every bit of our being would be given to you. Father, that we would live a forgiven life and that we would forgive others and we would stop living with bitterness in our lives. That we would dump out the poison and we would just pour out love and grace and forgiveness. Father, I pray we would stay focused fully on you and your goodness in Jesus' name.